Good to be here again tonight, and appreciate everyone being here to share more of God's Word that we might build ourselves up in the faith and ask the Lord for His understanding. In our lesson tonight, we want to deal with the cross and ask why in the world that no religion has the cross as the central part to their religion at all. The death of Christ, the cross, that's unheard of in any religion except for Christianity. And we ask tonight why the Lord would center so many things in the cross. Now, in the world, as far as the world is concerned, Christ died for our sins, and that's enough. Why? Well, that's because that's what we get. But when it comes to God, He has put many, many things in the cross. And be good for us to be on God's side and unite with God in His work and rejoice with His work in understanding some more of the things that God has accomplished through that cross. So I thought we would deal with several scriptures here concerning the things that God accomplished on the cross. We've dealt with John the 14th chapter, verse 31, several times before, but I'd like to start with this, because this essentially forms a basis for all the other things that God has done on the cross. In John 14, verse 28, He says, "You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and hath nothing in me." Now here's the scripture we're looking for now. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence." Now notice, this isn't just God's children that understand from the cross. This is that the world may know that I love the Father. So Christ went to the cross for the Father according to the Father's commandment. Let's read that verse again. "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do." So as we're teaching others and we're teaching about the cross, we need to make it clear the world should know that Jesus loves the Father. And that's why He went to the cross. John the 14th chapter and verse 15, He says, "The Father gave me a commandment." Here He says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So here is, if we love Christ, if we have His commandments and keep them, then that shows that we love Christ. Then in John 15 verse 10, He says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So why does the Father then love Christ? Because he went to the cross. The Father loves Christ because he kept his commandments. So as we deal with other scriptures here concerning the death on the cross, we need to see the commands that the Father gave and see that Christ obeyed these commands, not because of His will, but because of the Father's will. Then in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So if Jesus then gave up His life in order to obey the Father's command, was there a greater love that He could have shown to the world that He loved the Father? And of course the answer is no. So in Luke 22, verse 42, Jesus now, just before the cross, is praying in the garden, Luke 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." So if the Father had been willing, would he have gone to the cross? He says, "Remove this cup from me." If the Father said, "Okay, I'm removing the cup," would Jesus have gone to the cross anyway? He was under grave temptation here. And so the reason then that he went to the cross was for the Father. Now it's true, he went for us. But nevertheless, he went primarily because the Father gave him commandment to do that. Luke 22, verse 43, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Was there any temptation there? There was a grave temptation for Jesus not to go to the cross. That was what this temptation was all about. Should I go or should I not go? Jesus' flesh cried out, just like ours, "I don't want to go. I don't want to endure this." He's going to be marred more than any man. He's going to be suffering more than anyone had ever suffered or that ever would suffer. And he knew that. And he was dreading that. And so he said, "Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me." But the Father did not answer, and so Jesus then obeyed the Father's command and went to the cross. John, the 12th chapter, verse 27. Jesus now previously had been fully determined to go to the cross, but here now, just a little while before the cross, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this hour came I... For this cause came I unto this hour." That's why Jesus came to this world. It was centered in the cross. And God has accomplished many things on the cross. Now, in Matthew, the 20th chapter, Matthew 20, verse 22, several months before the cross, we see the same Lord, and look at his mind now toward this suffering that is coming up. But Jesus answered and said, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." So he tells them, "Okay, you got your wish." Well, a little later, the pressure gets a little bit higher, because now it comes time for him actually to go to the cross. So ultimately, Jesus went to the cross for his Father, and as we read in the beginning, "that the world may know that I love the Father. As the Father gave me commandment, so I do." So that's why he went to the cross. But there are many other reasons why Jesus went to the cross, and I'd like to deal with some of these. Galatians, the 3rd chapter. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13. The Jews now were under a curse because of the Old Testament law. And he's quoting Deuteronomy now when he says, "For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So how many were cursed back there with the Jews? Every Jew was cursed. And every Jew from that time on, as long as the old law was on the Jew, was going to be cursed. Why? Because every Jew sinned. And the first time he sinned, he was cursed. And what about the second time? Cursed is are those that do not continue in all the things that are written in the law to do them. So Christ now in verse 13 redeemed us. And Paul's talking now for the Jews, because we were never under that law. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree." So how did Jesus become a curse for them, to take them out from under that curse? By becoming a curse himself. And so that's another purpose for the cross, to take the Jew out from that Old Testament law. In Colossians 2, verse 14, that we quote many times, "blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." So that old law was nailed to the cross. So why the cross? In order to take the Jews out from under that Old Testament law. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, in verse 25, "He died for the sins of all those under the Old Testament, whom God," Romans 3:25, "has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." So Jesus died for the sins that were past. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 14, Hebrews 10 and verse 14, "He died to perfect those who are sanctified." Now notice, he's not dying to perfect everybody, but he's dying to protect everyone who is sanctified. "For by one offering," there's your cross, "he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So he has perfected forever those that are sanctified. That's another reason why he went to the cross. So forgiveness of sins is not enough. We need to be perfected by Christ, and he did that by one offering. In John the 12th chapter, he died to draw all men to himself. How many people in the world don't know about Jesus' death on the cross? I don't think there are very many, if any, that don't know about his death on the cross. And here's another reason for the cross. John 12:32, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying by what death he should die. So his cross then draws all men unto him. Now, what does the world think of the cross? You know, there's a lot of different opinions about that cross. Now, as far as Christianity is concerned and what we stand for, of course, many people in the world can't stand us or the doctrine. But what about the death of Christ? What do they think of that? They know about it. And why did Jesus die? To draw all men to himself. If for no other reason, they wonder, why would Christianity be centered in the cross? Then in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 14, and we've gone over this several times, another reason why he died on the cross, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, "For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." So here, he died for all men, not just for those that are saved. He died for everybody. In Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, in verse 9, he tasted death for every man. So we're seeing two scriptures saying essentially the same thing. Hebrews 2, verse 9. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death," there's your cross, "crowned with glory and honor after the cross, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." So he tasted death for every man. That's another reason why he died on the cross. In John the 21st chapter, we're looking now at Peter, and we're looking at Peter's death, and we compare Peter's death with Christ's death, and we see what Peter's death did, then we can understand what Jesus' death did. John 21, verse 18. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me." So this he spoke concerning Peter's death on how Peter would glorify God. So Peter, being willing to die for the Father, would glorify God. Then what did Jesus' death do for God's glory? So Jesus died to glorify the Father. In Romans the 14th chapter, verse 9, another reason why he died on that cross. Romans 14 and verse 9. "For to this end Christ both died," there's your cross, "and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." He's talking about spiritual death and spiritual life. He's going to be Lord of the dead and the living. And how did he do that? By the cross. And so that's another reason he died. So he would be Lord of the dead and the living. Then Hebrews the 2nd chapter and verse 14. And I like this one particularly. Hebrews the 2nd chapter and verse 14. "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death," there's your cross, "he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil. So why did he die on that cross? So he could destroy the devil. I like that one. In Hebrews the 2nd chapter and verse 15, "he died that he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So he's going to take men away from the fear of death and being subject to bondage by the cross. Then in Acts the 24th chapter, second chapter, I'm sorry, Acts the 2nd chapter and verse 24, "he died to loose the pains of death." And we just read that he might deliver those who were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Acts 2:24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So he died so that God would loose the pains of death. Then in John the 11th chapter, verses 51 and 52, he died to gather all of God's children together in one sheepfold. John 11, verse 51, and this spake he not of himself, this is the high priest speaking here, but being high priest that year, Caiaphas, he prophesied that Jesus should die, there's your cross, for that nation, there's one reason, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were sanctified abroad. So there's another reason for the cross, so he could draw all men into one sheepfold. Then Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 16, Ephesians 2 and verse 16, he died to reconcile the Jew and the Gentile. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God, that's the Jew and the Gentile, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So he slew the enmity between Jew and Gentile by the cross. So he brought all of God's children together into one sheepfold. In Romans the 5th chapter and verse 10, here's another reason why he died. Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we're reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So are we happy to be reconciled to God? Being reconciled means that there's peace between us and God. And he did that through his cross. Then Romans the 5th chapter and verse 6, he died so the ungodly would turn to him. And when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Then in Acts the 20th chapter and verse 28, Acts 20 and verse 28, he died to purchase the ones he had gathered together. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And his blood, of course, was shed on the cross. So he died so he could purchase the church. We've gone over 1 Peter 2, 19 through 21, and I won't labor that one at this time. Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And then verse 18 tells the kind of step. In verse 19, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So he died so that we would be willing to suffer wrongfully in order to get God's favor. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. So Christ then died so that we would love the Father like he does, and so that we would be willing to suffer wrongfully like he did, and so that we would be able then to follow in the steps of Christ. In 2 Peter the 4th chapter, verse 1, another reason why he died on the cross. He died so that we would no longer live in the flesh to the desires of men. 2 Peter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, there's your cross, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, there's your example, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. So why did he die on that cross? So we would have his same mind and be willing to suffer in the flesh so that we could cease from sin. And then he says, in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And if we overcome sin, whose will are we going to be living for? So Jesus died so that we would cease from sin. And that's another good reason. Now, I know there are people today that say you can't overcome sin. As long as you're on earth, you'll always sin. But do they know the reason why Christ died on the cross here? Let's read it again, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. What will happen if we do? For he that has suffered in the flesh with that same mind hath ceased from sin. So how do we cease from sin? He showed us how. By suffering in the flesh. We need to be willing to suffer in order to obey the commands of God like Jesus did. And Jesus went to the cross to show us how to suffer, even unto death. That's a good reason for the cross. So we would stop sinning. Then Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 8. Again, he talks about the mind of Christ. And this time, not only the mind of suffering, but he said, let this mind be in you, Philippians 2, 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's the mind of Christ. He was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, there's humility, and became obedient unto death, that's great humility, even the death of the cross, and that's the greatest humility. So Christ died so he could show us his mind, and so that we then could have the mind of Christ. And why do we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? So that we can have the mind of Christ. So we'll be reminded of what that mind is and how much he loved the Father and how he humbled himself to obey the commands of God. Then in verse 10, again the reason for the cross, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. There's another reason why he died on the cross. Then in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there again, he was crucified and died so that he would be Lord. Then John the 15th chapter, verse 13, we've seen this already. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus then showed the greatest kind of love. And we need to have that same love that Jesus had. Then in Hebrews the 9th chapter and verse 15, Hebrews 9 and verse 15, he died so that we could receive the eternal inheritance. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, there's his cross, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, that we might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So our inheritance is dependent on Jesus' death. Then in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10, he died that we should live together with him forever and ever. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So he died so that we would be able to live together with him. Then 1 John the 3rd chapter and verse 16, he died so that we could lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, there's your cross, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There's a living crucifixion. We need to lay down our lives for the brethren, and Jesus' death on the cross shows us that that is what we ought to do. In Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse 14, he died so the world would be crucified to us, and so that we would be crucified to the world. But God forbid, Galatians 6:14, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's his death, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So he died so that the world would be crucified unto us, and he died so that we would be crucified unto the world. Then in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, we've already given this scripture many times, but let's give it again tonight. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, there's your cross, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So he died so that we would live for him. Then in Romans the 5th chapter and verse 8, Romans 5 verse 8, he died so that God could commend his love to us. And of course the Father insisted that Christ go to the cross, and the cross did all these things for us. And who was the reason for the cross? Romans 5, verse 8, but God commends His love toward us. How? In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the cross, then, commends God's love for us. It shows us how much the Father loves us. Then Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 20, He died to make peace, or reconcile, everything in heaven and in earth to Himself. Now, here's a very great reason for His death. And it doesn't encompass just His children. In Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So everything needs to be reconciled through Christ. And He made peace through the blood of His cross. There's your crucifixion again. In John the 12th chapter, in verse 31, John 12, verse 31, He died so the prince of this world would be cast out. That's somewhat like that Hebrews 2:14 that we read a moment ago. John 12:31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. I like that one too. The Lord died so He could conquer Satan. Then in Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 8, we close with this scripture now. That everything needs to be centered in the love that Jesus had for His Father on the cross. And we go over this scripture a little more slowly. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And He's going to end with the mind of Jesus there on the cross. He says, who being in the form of God, which He was before He took on the form of man, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So He had the same form. But He left off that form in order to take on the form of man and be like His brethren in everything, so He could be our example here on this earth. Then He says, but made Himself of no reputation. Literally, the Greek says He emptied Himself. He had the form of God, but He emptied Himself of that and whatever else He had, and took upon Him the form of a servant. He was born like all men in everything. So how much did He have when He came to earth? He was made like unto His brethren in all things. There's another reason why He came to the earth. And then He says He became and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. And we also need to humble ourselves, and then and became obedient unto death. That should be our mind. We should have the mind that we're going to have the mind of Christ. And even if it's necessary for us to die, we should be willing to die in order to obey the command of God. And then even the death of the cross. Is there any greater death that anyone has ever died? Is there any greater love that any man has showed toward his God or toward anybody than what we're reading here with Jesus on the cross? And you know, we know that there has not. And so He said, that the world may know that I love the Father and we're part of the world. That's what should come to mind as we think of the cross of Christ. God's love, or Christ's love for His Father. And as we take the Lord's Supper, that should be foremost in our mind. We're remembering Jesus' love for His Father. We also need to love the Father. And if you're not part of the Lord's body, you need to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism to rise to walk in a new life. Walking outside of Christ is kind of dangerous, because if we know our condition and we don't do anything about it, then we're responsible for that condition. We need to obey the command of God as soon as we understand what that command is. It's too dangerous to live outside of Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12, outside of Christ, they were living with strangers in the commonwealth of Israel, without God and without hope in the world. That's a pretty hard life, isn't it? Living without God, outside of Christ, and without hope. There's no hope of going to heaven, no hope of eternal life with the Father, if we're not in Christ. Galatians 3:27, we're baptized into Christ. Acts 2:38, we are baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 22:16, we're baptized to wash away our sins. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, we're baptized into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. That's the kingdom. So all these things are incorporated in that action that the Lord has ordained to be buried with Christ and rise to walk in a new life. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation to come into Christ and have hope and have God, we'd encourage you tonight to do that. And if you're not right with God and you need the prayers of the church, then we would encourage you to ask for the prayers tonight. Would you come now while we stand together and sing?